Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is Mike Harvey, the Silverback Ape of professional wrestling. My career in professional wrestling, let's start when I joined at age 16. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I've traveled within the five boroughs of Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, Bronx, Staten Island. And my journey as a professional wrestler has been one crazy adventure, I'll tell you that much. Can't wait to tell you people my story. Let's get into
Mike Harvey, the Silverback Ape. It's a pleasure to have you on this platform to have everyone know what your story is. I'm excited to get into it. And as you said, let's jump right into this episode.
Wow, where do I start? Well, I was 16 years old and I was first training in the Bronx for a company called Bronze Wrestling Federation, BWF. Mind you, 16 years old, traveling out all the way to the Bronx. It sounds insane. But, I was a kid with a dream and I was trying to find a way to get into the business and just doing my research, traveling around within the boroughs, trying to find the right place that fits. And I discovered BWF, where was by I believe I don't remember the stop full on, but I know it was after Yankee Stadium. So I would see Yankee Stadium every time I would go to training. The experience of learning there, learning the basics at a young age, training with these older men that have been in the business for years. It was the best experience, honestly. Even though some of them were starting out just like me, being the youngest in a wrestling school. It's like it's nerve-wracking, but it shows you that you develop a tough skin as soon as you get in. I was getting beaten up, I was fighting back, I was putting in the work, wrestling in good rings, wrestling in bad rings, just putting in the grind to become a wrestler. I remember telling my parents that, oh, I'm finally gonna be a wrestler. It wasn't the best experience telling them, but they understood what I was chasing and they supported it, even though, it's a gruesome sport. I'll tell you that much. I could tell you at age 27, right now, I could feel all the bumps and bruises already.
At 16, you're walking into the locker room with a bunch of grown men. It's not like they're like, "Hey, buddy, come over here." They're gonna put you in a headlock. They're gonna try to rough you around and make sure this is what you want to do. I'm sure that the passion though that you had for like, "Hey, I'm gonna make this work." That's what drove you to get to where you are now. And like you said, wrestling is a gruesome sport, and I know that there's some kind of body training that goes into that too, right? Like being able to condition yourself to be in the ring. It looks like it's an easy sport, but I'm sure there's a lot more to it.
It's a lot. The workouts, getting in the ring after the workouts, pushing yourself, like you're running on spaghetti legs after a while. So it's like, it's conditioned like football workouts, maybe a little more. In high school, I played sports as well. I played baseball, basketball. I wrestled in high school, and I also played football. The most intense training I would tell you is wrestling. The second is football.
And when you first get in the ring, you just there's a proper way to even walk into the ring. In addition to walking in the ring and wrestling, which is an art of having a promo skill and being able to talk on the microphone, having an entrance even. How does it even work? Like, can you walk us through what it's like when you first sign up for a wrestling school?
When you first sign up for a wrestling school, automatically you have to sign a waiver just in case you get hurt or anything. You can't sue anybody, you can't do nothing. It's all 100% on you, and you're taking a chance on yourself. And wrestling school, as soon as you walk in, the first thing you're going to learn is your basics. So dealing with footwork, rolls, back bumps, stuff like that. Some schools, they won't toss you into the fire. I'll tell you that much. They'll have you train for like 5 years. Some schools will toss you in if you're ready, It's depending on the learning experience that you will receive or the experience that you had prior to other places. So it is depending on where do you go, and you tell them how many years experience you have, and they work with you with that. When it comes to entrances and stuff like that, you're usually practicing that on the downtime in certain places, because some places don't teach entrances, some don't teach mic work. You know, you have to figure out when and where to do stuff like that. You have to figure out what goes where. Your entrance is like your main presentation at times. So it's like, it shows who you are, what you're about, the confidence level you have. And mostly it's just how you walk into the building. If you own the place and you feel like you own the place, you go in and you just do you. Now, if they see you are nervous, they will point that out. They will show, oh, okay, he's a little nervous. You could tell by his body structure or his body language. So it's all depending on how you approach things and how you take it in. Me, before matches, I like to, you know, take deep breaths, walk around, pace around, listen to music, you know, get ready, get myself mentally prepared.
Another thing I'd like to point out too is, like, you were 16 and there's locker room etiquette that comes with even having your bag in a locker room, or, hey man, the older wrestlers get the chairs when you come in.
Yeah, you gotta respect your veterans. Granted, you're gonna have some veterans that's going to test you, like, you know, test, see how you respond to things, and it's all a mind game backstage. You just have to just be humble, do your part, you know, continue about your wrestling. When it comes to the locker room, I was always the quiet guy in the locker room. I can tell you that. I'm still in to this day. People will tell you, anybody that shared a locker room, he will tell you, Barbie's a very quiet guy. My way of being in the locker room is I find a little corner somewhere, just sit in the corner, get ready, warm up, observe the room or how everybody's doing, and just when it comes to shows, see what's being done and what's not being done. Stuff like that, out of respect of everybody in the locker room. You always want to respect your peers and respect the work they're putting in. And when it comes to the veterans, yeah, you got to do what they act. It's just depending on you and the person, you know?
Yeah, it's important to read the room when you're walking into it, right? Like when you walk into a mm-hmm. locker room or you're wrestling at a promotion that you've never wrestled at, it's important to know what kind of people you're working with and how you present yourself. I like how you mentioned having some kind of confidence, because I'm sure there's wrestlers out there that would be like, I know that you're nervous. You know, there's nothing really mm-hmm. to be nervous about, but it's all a mental game. And I know that you said that, which is important to say to in wrestling, right? And in life too, to be able to go anywhere you go, to know, yep. hey, I can do whatever I want. And not just say that you're going to do it, but actually go out and put the work in and show it to the world, like, hey, this is what I'm meant to do.
That's a perfect way to explain it. Hell, you just go in, like we said, do what you do. Get out of there. Make sure you give the crowd what they want. Make sure you give the fans the best show you can. Always give it 110%. There's times when I'm nervous, you can tell. There's times when I'm not nervous and the confidence is like through the roof, you know? You'll have your days. You'll have your bad days.
You know, good days and bad days. You were there with a dream. I know you said that you're from Brooklyn, which I'm sure that has a big influence on how you present mm-hmm. yourself, because everyone's upbringing is a little bit different. One thing I will say is that something that me and you share together is this Puerto Rican culture and this Puerto Rican background that we both have. Yeah. How important is that to how you are as a person and how you present yourself even in the wrestling ring?
Oh, man. I can tell you one thing. Being Puerto Rican is the best feeling in the world, because we do everything with passion. It doesn't matter what sport you're in. It could be baseball, basketball, football. It could be any sport. We bring passion to whatever it is we do. And sometimes we could be over-passionate, you know. And it's not that we think we're better than anybody. It's never the case like that. It's just our people. To me, we haven't been given much, but we've done so much with what we was given, if that makes sense. Like, for example, when was the last time you seen a Puerto Rican world champion?
Because there have been professional wrestlers in WWE. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love Carlito. I love Primo. Mm-hmm. I love the storyline where they have that Carlito had a setup on John Cena where he stabbed them in the back. And that was great. But mm-hmm. there wasn't a push, you know, for Carlito to be world champion.
I'll tell you this. Carlito, with that story, it did bring him the United States title.
I would say.
Yeah, what an accurate story they went with, you know? It's a crazy story. Like, at first, when I heard the story, I'm like, okay, this reminds me of, you know, an incident that happened, you know, out there in Puerto Rico. Rest in peace, Brody. Like, that bruiser is messed up, you know? But when it comes to stuff like that, I feel like that also affected us in a way. It affected Carlito, affected Primo, affected Epico. I understand. Trust me, I do. There was people that were writing a status about Puerto Rico, and then they were right, RIP, Bruiser Brody. Trust me, I get it. I'm sad about the situation, too. And I feel like that set us back very far, in a way. And what we have nowadays, the Puerto Ricans that are out nowadays, we're trying to get rid of that stigma, if that makes sense.
Yes, there's definitely a stigma for, you know, Latinos. Think of the super cools. It's like, really, guys? Like, these were top talent WCW cruiserweight wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And you put them in a group that plays on a stigma in the United States. It was just the time. Mm-hmm. I know that now is a little bit different with different creative directors mm-hmm. in WWE, but they definitely did play on a Puerto Rican stereotype, a Mexican stereotype. So we haven't really had the chance to shine the way that we know that we can in the professional wrestling business in WWE. And in general, right. I feel like also in society too, now Puerto Ricans are starting to be looked at differently. We, you know, Bad Bunny's a huge influence on music. And
yeah,
I think that just that right there is kind of it's our foot up and to be recognized and to be looked at, even as a wrestling fan, going back to that, like we had a pay-per-view in Puerto Rico and I can't remember the last time that there was a pay-per-view in Puerto Rico. And just to hear the pot that Carlito got, he got one of the biggest Stone Cold pot. And that should speak for itself.
Yeah, even Bad Bunny, a non-wrestler, a singer, a rapper, he got a pop in Puerto Rico as a wrestler. That right there just showed you that it's a way different culture than before. But granted, we, you know, we're trying our best. I can say that. Like, a lot of the guys that's Puerto Rican that stepped into wrestling, we bring it 100%, even though all the stuff that we deal with on the daily, you know, all the criticism, all the expectations that we have to exceed, you know, all the obstacles they put in front of us, we always try 100% to give it all. With the pay-per-view in Puerto Rico, Backlash, when seeing Carlito again, my childhood memories went crazy. My nostalgia hit me, you know, like, it's a great feeling. Like, I'm glad WWE is finally back in Puerto Rico. They're going to start doing shows in Puerto Rico again. But hopefully, we don't have to go through anything again that sets us back for years. Because it's not right for everybody in Puerto Rico. It's not fair to us, you know?
That moment when Carlito came out and there was a huge pop, it felt good to be Puerto Rican and it felt good to be a wrestling fan.
I agree.
Because we know that wrestling is just as big in our culture as other sports, right? Mm-hmm. We also know that it's just part of our culture. You can go and search up older wrestling events recent, wrestling events of the past. I kid you not, there have been Puerto Rican flags in almost every single major pay-per-view in wrestling. It's just a fact.
Yep, that is true. I've seen it. We could pull up screenshots on Google that you'll find of wrestling fans with Puerto Rican flags in the stands. It is the truth. We're everywhere. We're also even expanding in basketball now, because before basketball, we have not seen a lot of Puerto Ricans basketball, but now you see them starting to take it serious more. Baseball, you see us everywhere. We're everywhere in baseball. As for wrestling, now you're starting to see more and more. Last year and this year alone, I've seen more Puerto Ricans in wrestling than I ever seen before, which I can say.
Man, that's a beautiful thing, man, because Puerto Ricans, we got different kind of wrestling styles. I've seen some Puerto Ricans that could do the luchador style wrestling. I've seen some Puerto Ricans that are very aggressive, and we're not just limited to just one wrestling style.
Right. There would be some places that would try to limit us, but we're not one-dimensional. We can do a lot of styles. Like, we have wrestling, we have a wrestling team out there. We have technical wrestlers, we have luchadors, high flyers, we have strikers. We have all different types of styles. We're not limited to one style.
And I'm going to be completely honest with you, Mike. One of the reasons why I wanted to get you on this platform, why I wanted to talk, I was watching some of your matches, exactly what you explained about other Puerto Ricans. I see it in you. You have the lucha style wrestling. You can be technical. I'm sure you can do an Iron Man match. And if Shawn Michaels was still in his prime, you'd be able to wrestle.
Of course. We make each other look great.
Those different styles of wrestling that you have, what are the influences for that?
I guess say I like to adapt to people's styles. So favorite wrestler, granted he's not Puerto Rican, but my favorite wrestler is Kurt Angle. I would watch how Kurt would adapt to these styles. I would watch how he would go with anybody in the ring, and the way he presented himself in a way, it showed that no matter if you are a wrestler or a high flyer or a luchador, if you can adapt to anybody's style in wrestling, you can make it far in wrestling. And I always had that thing in the back of my mind where I could adapt to, mat wrestling. I could adapt to AJ Styles' high flying, or I could adapt Brock Lesnar's power. So it all depends on how you go about things and how can you work with others,
Wrestlers influence you in the ring, and some of them they don't even get a chance to talk about how the match is going to go. How do you do it on the fly, man?
Oh man, I can tell you one thing. I love calling on the fly because I don't have to remember X, Y, and Z. But if I'm calling something on the fly, it usually has to do with what is the story we're trying to tell to the people, and how can we get there? Like, how you're playing a video game? How you play, like, let's say WWE 2K, the new one that just came up. And how you attack a certain body part?
Oh yeah, my favorite body part attacks one in the game is definitely the Ric Flair figure four lock. So I'm definitely attacking some of the wrestlers' legs.
Now, I use that same logic of what Ric Flair would do. If his finisher is the figure four, why would I not attack the person's legs? Or why would I not put the guy in holes? Or why would I not go after his legs through the whole match? Why would I attack another body part and then go after the leg? Like, that's just my theory of things. At times, you could get lost in the ring, and but if you have a good group of people or good worker across from you, you have nothing to worry about.
Different wrestlers and how they come off too is what matters, like you're saying, because I'm sure you can get in a ring with someone and if they're not experienced, it'll show.
Oh yeah, it'll show, but that right there will show if you're the veteran in the match. You know what I mean? If the guy's less experienced than me, that it's my job to guide him. It basically puts you in the spotlight there. And if you do good, hey, listen, you're trustworthy. It's like a game. Or like, if we step in the ring, do you trust me with taking care of you? Like, it's like dancing, if that makes sense.
One person moves and the other person moves at the same time. That's how it
Yep.
goes. Fans at home can go ahead and research when they're searching your name is different matches that you've been in, right? And how, when it comes to your wrestling, you're always innovative. There's always something new to look at in your matches.
I always try to be different in my matches. I don't try to be like, oh, too predictable,
Because as a wrestling fan, you don't want to know what your wrestler's going to do next. Like, that's just not, it's not an interesting match to be, watching or just be a fan of somebody that's so predictable.
And sometimes if you could do that on the fly, that you could call something on the fly, like I said, it's depending on the individual you're in the ring with. If you both can make it look good, you both safe and everything, the sky's the limit.
It almost looks like, you get a lot of wrestlers who come in who have already had experience from bigger promotions, walk into a company and then reinvent themselves. But from someone who is barely starting off, trying to make a name for themselves, how is it that somebody gets known in the wrestling scene when they're not a big name?
One thing I can always say is always be humble. Always have, your mouth closed, ears open. Always listen to what's going on. Be bigger, not be bigger than the show, but like put the show above yourself. Or sometimes you have to put people, above you. Just show that, you want it. Like, show it in the looks department, show it in how you talk, show it in the ring. There's like five tools that you have to follow. There's this thing you have to follow, that you have to look the part, you have to dress the part. It's just how you present yourself, how you approach the sport, you know, just how you treat your matches and stuff. It's mostly like, you know, to show that you want it. That's how you get ahead. Now, granted, you're going to run into some problems. You know, we know the problems backstage. We know what goes on backstage. For newer people, I will always tell you, be different. Always stand out. Always try to stand out when you come into the business. Always try to be different. Don't be like everybody else. Have a different character, you know, have a different approach. Just be you. Sometimes being you is the best thing you could do.
Being you will get yourself over because people are going to be able to relate to a character. They know that it's like them. And what's that feeling of knowing that you're over? What is that like?
Oof. I'll tell you, the one main time was after my match with Vinny Pacifico. Shout out Vinny Pacifico. After the match, we shook hands and then we hugged. Then when he left the ring, the crowd was cheering Vinny. And then a certain shift just happened. My name started getting chanted. And I'm just looking around like, wow. Wow, this is the feeling. This is it right here. Okay. I like this feeling. I need to find ways to stay this hot, you know? It's a great feeling when you're over, but it's an even better feeling when you stay over.
Say that again.
It's a great feeling when you're over, but it's better when you stay over.
Mike Harvey, what is that? Man, that's... Man, I'm a loss for words. Like, that's deep.
Thank you. Love the business, man.
And to stay over in wrestling, that's a challenge because, like, there's no way to tell that an audience is going to stay with a character or stay with someone for a journey. I'm thinking of L.A. Knight right now. This guy.
Oh, yeah.
Name is just pretty much it's everywhere. It's even having AEW fans chant his name, right? It shows. Yeah. Who's to say that in 6 months, LA Knight's going to be getting the reactions that he's getting now?
Right. It could be a scary feeling. It could be a very scary feeling. I've knew about LA Knight since his Impact days, actually, in TNA. I knew he was going to be a big star as soon as when he left Impact. I already knew he was going to be a big star. You could tell from the catchphrases to the way he talks, the way he walks, the way he works. He's very passionate about it. And look who he studied, The Rock, Stone Cold. You mix those two together, you have gold, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very over in TNA, I'll tell you that much.
I love the dummy button that he used to have.
Oh, man, that was my favorite. When he would press it all the time.
These influences that wrestlers have, it's reflected in their wrestling. And think back to when Triple H used to talk about how Harley Race was a big influence on him. And then I went back and I studied some of his matches and I was like, wait, hold on. This kind of looks like what Triple H does in the ring. You know, it's not that wrestling is an art of stealing, but it's an art of recycling, being able to take what someone did, but elevate that to the next level.
That's how you do it in the business. You get inspired by someone that wrestled in the past that you looked up to as a kid. Once you get in there, you start showing that, you know, you looked up to that person. Granted, some are going to look at it as stealing, but some, if you play your cards right and you know what you're doing and you're very humble about it, some will actually take notice and say, oh, wow, he's a big fan of this guy. And he even incorporated that guy's wrestling style into his, which turned this guy into someone that's known. For example, if I was to take Kurt Angle's full style and put it into my style, who knows where I would be in 5 years.
Bro, I want to see you come out, mouthpiece, singlet. I'm going to say this as a joke, but Kurt Angle.
That's my favorite one.
For everyone else out there, if you don't know who Kurt Angle is, do your research.
So it's all over Google. It's all over Facebook. You cannot get away from it. We even have Kurt AI. At one point.
Oh my gosh. No, but like when you were talking about Kurt Angle earlier and you were talking about his matches and how he adapted to different styles, that's that time period where Kurt Angle, I think it was probably like from 2006 all the way to 2009 when he had some of his best matches.
I believe he jumped ship to TNA at that time, around that time too.
That was a big thing.
Yeah, that was a... I remember watching And then seeing him show up on the Titantron, me and my father would look at each other like, what? Like, what is this? Like, what is going on? Like, so shocked. And then when we seen his face on the screen, you can tell the fan in us came out, you know? It's like, oh my God, Kurt is on Impact Wrestling. I would never thought I'd see Kurt Angle on a different wrestling show. Because, you know, he was strictly WWE at that time.
Someone that can constantly reinvent themselves in wrestling is someone that can stay relevant. I'd say that Mike Harvey, what's your next reinvention?
Well, now that you mentioned it, you did mention before about the mouthpiece and the singlet. Little do anybody knows, I have something being made for me. Actually, a new attire. I'm going to retire the Goku trunks, Goku-inspired trunks, and I'm going to be transitioning into the singlet and a mouthpiece very soon, actually. My transition now, I'm not sure if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan.
You see, I've watched some episodes. I know a little bit about it, but tell us more about this new outfit and new design that you have coming out.
To make it understandable for people, those who watch anime, and you said you watched a couple episodes, so you know about it. A lot of people don't watch anime, so they wouldn't know. I'm transitioning into a great ape, meaning in this show, the characters are gorillas, aka apes. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to transition my character into a great ape, but also have this rage where I'm a wrestling machine. So now I'm taking Kurt Angle's wrestling style and I'm mixing it with a little bit of aggression from anime, which with, you know, the ape, the anger of an ape, you put that together, what do you get? A primal ape.
The indie scene of wrestling is your playground. You are the primal ape. You are the silver back ape. Mm-hmm. You are the top primal animal of wrestling indie scene.
Yep.
Now you're about to take this to the next level. People just got to watch out. You're onto something.
Now, just coming up with the backstory of the primal ape. Now I have to like figure that part out, you know, just show the fans, this is what I'm headed. This is my real persona. This is all my rage that I deal with on a daily. I soak this in and use it in the ring. Now, granted, I'm not killing my opponents. I want to bring that, okay, this is real, feeling back into wrestling, you know? Because I feel like that's also a lost art in a way, but I also want to transition it into storytelling more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, to be able to put your rage and aggression into your art. Life reflects art and art reflects life, which is a big thing in wrestling, and to be able to be realistic about that too. The way that you're going to do it, taking everybody to Planet of the Apes.
That's the goal for me, and that's my plan, just to elevate myself to the next level and just keep on elevating, you know, and also helping the companies that I'm with. I have a great working relationship. Certain individuals have a great working relationship with indie promoters. Like, that's my humble way of saying things. Like, I just want to be the best in this business, no matter how or when. Just bring something different and always, you know, be different in the ring.
We got to elevate to get to levels of new heights and to be able to reach where we want to be. And in wrestling, there's a thing such as a brass ring, right? Used often in WWE by Vince McMahon to reach the top and to be the champion of a company. I know that's not easy, you know, right? Like, because you're going to be out promoting shows, having good relationships with the people in the back, because that's important too, right? Like, politics and wrestling, my gosh, like, we see it so often in wrestling where it's like, you love a wrestler, but then you hear, man, this person doesn't really know how to get along with anybody in the backstage.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, it's a hit and miss, you know? Like, sometimes when they say rumors, this person's not getting along with anybody backstage, you know? I will always tell people, the first word, rumor, it's always a rumor. It's never 100% accurate.
Sometimes I think that we're so quick to read some article online and then be like, oh, well, we can take this as truth or we can take this with a grain of salt. It's better to take stuff with a grain of salt. We don't always know, you know, what's going on. They're all rumors, right? Like, that's something that I learned in this past year. I remember, this is not pertaining to wrestling, but I read an article saying that the Spider-Man and No Way Home, there was only going to be like 15 minutes of them. And then I come to find out, man, the whole movie's based around them. And I'm like,
Right.
Yeah, I learned my lesson about reading rumors, and they're just rumors, you know? It's right. true, it's not true, but sometimes a big play out to whether or not a wrestler can be pushed or not in the company.
Right. Right. As long as you see how you can pick up on that, as long as you pick up on that, you know, it's like, all right, I already know, you know, what where this person might end up or where this person might go in the future and stuff. Like, you can really sit there and see what's going on. Sometimes it might work out in their favor. Sometimes it might not.
See, now, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Well, I would like to see myself on TV, actually, maybe with Impact Wrestling, maybe with MLW, maybe with WWE, maybe with AEW. I would just love to see myself on the next level. But I also, within those 5 years, I would love to see myself grow as a competitor and as a person.
What steps are you going to take to get there?
Huh, good question. Well, personally, my first year, I would say I would find a place where it's TV ready, but also I have to find a school that teaches TV ready. So I have to place myself in a certain position where I need to succeed with a TV ready coach. So it's basically like, how can I explain it? It's like coming up in the minor leagues of baseball, you know? You need that guidance. You need that certain someone to steer you in the right direction. So my path is I'm looking for genuine coaches, genuine trainers to get me where I need to be.
To be TV ready in wrestling, that means to be able to wrestle in front of a camera, to be able to wrestle from one side of the ring to the other. I say that WWE has this style of wrestling that's different from other wrestling companies because I've heard that they wrestle in clockwise, which, think about that. It's like, to me, that blows my mind because even Japan has their own style of wrestling, but you just want to be able to wrestle and have the kind of wrestling that's going to, you know, elevate you to the next level, but at the same time, be able to get you TV ready.
Yep. Like, now that you mentioned the certain styles, like, you know how New Japan has strong style and you have WWE. To me, I would say WWE's storytelling base. Don't really know the name of the style of WWE, but I can tell from like body language of how they work, where you have AEW, that's like, you have all different styles in AEW, really. You have the Lucha style, you have strong style, you have, you know, technical wrestling. You have all different styles. So is this like, it all dates back to who you're working, what they want, you know. It's all about listening to in the end. Like, if you can listen and you can show people that you listen in this business, you're going to make it far.
Mike Harvey, man, it's been a pleasure having you on. Any last words that you would like to say to the audience?
One thing I would want to say to the people out there is always chase your dreams. Don't let anybody get in your way. Don't let anybody try to stop you. There's people that's going to try to talk down on you. You, as a wrestler, as a person, always know yourself and always push yourself to be better than tomorrow.
That's Mike Harvey, the Silverback Ape, and I'm the host, the Color Jose, and we're signing off.
Have a good one, y'all.